So today's webinar is titled A CPA's Perspective on the PCA, Pandemic / CARES Act. Yeah, I know it's a kind of a cheesy name, but I'll try to get better. Today's guest is Steve Bazis. Steve is a sole practitioner CPA with his office located here in Omaha, Nebraska. Steve began his career in the commercial real estate industry and transitioned into a CPA practice in 2008. He specializes in business and individual tax, as well as business and high net worth client consulting. Welcome, Steve.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak today.
I know you're not busy or anything trying to get stuff done, but you know, figure.
I tend to feel like an island, like I'm on an island by myself in my office.
Well, figure we'll give you 30 minutes. It's like your lunch break. You know, we'll give that to you and get back to work. So Steve, let's get right into it. So let's start with a basic general question. That's, what's the biggest issue you've had, either tax related or for your firm trying to transition in this COVID era, since, you know, probably we'll say February, March, when everything kind of went down?
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is no big surprise, but it's the stimulus packages that have been released. It started out when, you know, February, I was having probably one of the best tax seasons ever. I was actually ahead of the game and I didn't really have any big tax issues. And usually every year I have something big, like either a partnership didn't tell me that they transferred 10 different partners out of it or something like that. And I find out in the middle of tax season. So it was going good from that aspect until this whole pandemic issue hit. It didn't really start affecting me until probably March 18th when the Family First Response Act came out. And usually when these new things come out from a firm perspective, you know, you got to learn them and figure them out. So the good side is this first one that popped up really didn't affect too many of my clients. And there was already rumblings about a better bill that was going to be released at sometime in late March. So which brought in the March 27, 20 Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, or CARES Act, as everybody knows. And this was a large bill, obviously. You know, everybody pretty much knows what it entails for the most part, but it did introduce the Payroll Protection Plan and the PPP, which began the adventure of trying to figure this thing out.
To transition, what was it like then dealing with the PPP initially?
So you know,
law comes down, you know, what were the effects and how did it affect how you did your business?
Yeah, the first, you know, that week, so that was a Friday, March 27th. So that week I was still in tax returns and it did pass the Congress, and I think it was the Congress first and then the Senate signed it. And then Trump signed it on that Friday. And I was really kind of pushing it off until it got released, because sometimes these things change and you don't want to get too far into them because they put in last minute items and whatnot. But then it got passed on Friday. So Friday, I would probably say Saturday morning, my whole operations came to a complete halt. You know, all I was doing was contacting attorneys, contacting banks, contacting other tax professionals to try and put this whole payroll protection program into effect and seeing who it qualifies for, how it's calculated. There was no guidance, there was no application. I was taking continuing education along with navigating through all the bad news, because at that time, every time you turned on the media news, it was just bad news, and the stock market was dropping, dealing with, you know, clients calling about that, whether they should cash out or not. So it was kind of a giant disaster. No one knew how to calculate it at first, and there was a lot of people trying to be aggressive. The banks weren't very helpful. So I basically had a phone stuck to my ear for a week for the most part. That's basically what happened. So,
Steve, can you briefly describe in layman's terms what the PPP is all about and who it applies to?
Yeah, you know, now we've got a lot more guidance that's come out. There's still a lot that needs to be released, but, you know, basically applies to any U.S. business that has under 50 employees and it was in operation on February 15, 2020. There are some other eligibility requirements, but those are the main things. You know, it's calculated based off of the lesser of 2.5 times your average monthly payroll or 10 million. So the lesser of those two, you know, most of the people are doing 2.5 times your average monthly revenue, or it's Ruth Chris or the Lakers who have returned the money already. You know, the biggest question there is, you know, what's payroll costs? I mean, I put together calculations based off of 1099 contractors at first, you know, paying like an actual contractor issue, if you issued them a 1099 during the year. That went out probably a week after you could take applications. But for the most part, in simplistic terms, for a business with payroll, you know, it's your gross payroll. There are some other items in there like health insurance and retirement benefits, but really it's your gross payroll. Anything that smells or you know, looks like payroll is going to be the item. And then for the self-employed person, it's going to be their net income on their Schedule C per se. So, you know, it really works as it's initially set up as a 2-year loan. So when you go through the process, you actually sign a loan document, a promissory note with a 1% interest rate. And then you don't have to make payments on it for 6 months. As long as you use 75% of the proceeds for payroll or self-employment income, which is a whole nother, you know, trying to figure out what self-employment income is and how you use it is a whole nother conversation. But for the majority of the people, it's going to be, you know, using 75% of the proceeds for payroll costs. And then there's a caveat in there where you can use 25% on mortgage interest, rent payment, and utilities. So as you do that, then essentially it is forgiven. There's a lot of question, you know, there's a lot going on with this mortgage interest, rent payments, utilities. Not a lot of people there's not a lot of guidance on what qualifies for rent. Like, does CAM qualify for rent, or does improvements to a sidewalk, or, you know, if you have a triple net lease, you know, is the taxes and insurance, all that associated with it, does that qualify rent? We really just don't know right now. There was some additional guidelines relating to utilities, because, you know, you think utilities and you're really thinking electric, gas, but they've actually extended that definition to where, you know, it includes electricity, gas, water, transportation, telephone or internet access for service that began prior to February 15, 2020. And there's also been further guidance that's added gas used when driving a business vehicles. So, you know, there's other items like garbage collection or security monitoring. They may be classified as a utility, but it's kind of going to be up to your lending institution on how that works. So along with the 75% and 25%, there is a caveat there that you can't reduce salaries during the period or reduce your employees as well. But if you get back to those salary levels and employee levels by June 30th, then you're still okay with that piece of whether or not it'll be forgiven. This forgiveness was intended to be tax-free per most of everything that's come out. So that's kind of the whole program in a nutshell for the most part.
Steve, what do you mean by when you say it's up to the lender?
Lending institutions are the ones that are going to be requiring the documentation to decide, you know, if it's forgivable or not, and to make sure that you spend it on the correct items per the SBA. I think more guidance is going to come out on that later on. Because I've seen a number of from a whole different slew of banks, and everybody's kind of doing it a little bit differently. So we haven't gone through the forgivable process yet. So I think there's going to be a lot more stuff pop up.
Okay. So where do we stand now with the PPP? We've had basically two iterations of it, right?
Yeah.
There being another one.
Yeah. And you know, there's rumblings of potentially more. You know, the last month, I think initially it was a rush to get the money and then pick up the pieces later and figure out how to calculate the forgiveness. there has been guidance that's trickled out, but we really do need a lot more. And it's trickling out daily. You know, just this, you know, the past couple days, you know, the treasurer's now, you know, warning people that when you filled out an application for one of these, you certified that your current economic uncertainty makes the loan request necessary to support the ongoing operations of the applicant, meaning you. And then they're saying, if you feel that you didn't certify to this correctly, you now have till May 14th to return the funds. So I can't predict the future. And, you know, I have different business clients that, you know, they are going to get affected by this. It may not be in the short term, but it could be in the long term. So it seems to me like it's a scare tactic. I mean, a lot of people have returned it. You know, like I mentioned before, Ruth Chris did, the LA Lakers returned their funds. So, you know, you think this was intended for business, all business individuals that, you know, are trying to keep their payroll up and running. But they are, you know, they are going to look at every loan that was $2 million or more. So audited more than likely. And they've already started indicting different companies for fraud, because there is going to be a lot of fraud with this as well. I think it was two New England business individuals. They tried to get for three restaurants that were up and running, and they've already raided them. So there just needs to be a lot more guidance, and it's coming out. We just don't know when, but they've been doing it every Tuesday, but we'll see when that comes out. And then the other, you know, the IRS too is kind of involved in this as well. It's not just the SBA and Treasury. So the IRS came out on April 30th with their notice 2020, which indicated that there's no deduction allowed for any expense that was deductible or any expense that is used with tax exempt income. So they're saying that any expense that you have that you use the proceeds for is not deductible if the proceeds were forgiven. Well, everything I've seen indicates that this was supposed to be, you know, non-taxable funds, which if you can't take the deduction, then it ends up indirectly making the proceeds taxable. So my organization, AICPA, is really fighting this heavily. You know, I'm getting updates. Actually, I got another update this morning from the Journal of Accountancy indicating that they're pushing this as hard as they can. So hopefully we'll see some change there. They're going to have a serious fight associated with it. You've also seen, you know, the commercial real estate industry try and push for the 20% of the proceeds that you can use for utilities, rent, et cetera. They're trying to push it to 50%. So it's 50-50 instead of 75-25. Munchie came out on Monday and kind of pushed back on that. No, we want this for payroll. You know, the intent was to, you know, retain your employees and use it for payroll. But that's still, there's still some fights happening there as well. And I think some senators and Congress people are trying to really push on that too, to get that 50. I kind of worry about this whole 8-week period. So when you get the proceeds, the lenders have 10 days to fund it. And when you get the proceeds, you have 8 weeks to spend it. Well, I have clients that are shut down, and they, you know, for a reason, you know, they can't hire their employees back, or their employees don't want to come back because they're scared, or maybe the employee's getting, you know, paid on unemployment, is getting paid more than what they would pay them, which is a whole nother, you know, kind of fraud issue, but it does happen. And it's one of those things where, why can't the 8-week period start when they reopen, when they're trying to get the employees back in? Because a lot of these companies, they may have just inherent issues with getting customers in the door, or patients if you're a dentist, or just because people don't want to go out, they're nervous about, you know, getting sick, or maybe they are. So that's where, you know, you'll see some more guidance on that as well. You know, then there's questions like, you know, I shut down on March 27th, and I continued employed, but I didn't get my payroll protection loan until April 30th. I use the payroll, the, can I allocate the PPP proceeds at payroll? And we don't know the answer to that yet. I think the way it reads now is no, but we'll find some additional guidance on that too, hopefully. So
what kind of businesses do you think are going at trying to get the, you know, kind of bidding for the 50-50 separation point on payroll versus the, what it is right now? I mean, which ones really are going to benefit if they can move it 50? Is it everyone?
I think so. I mean, if you're leasing building, you know, your rent could potentially be higher than what your payroll is. And land around here in Omaha, we've had a lot of landlords that have pushed off to all their commercial retail tenants. They pushed off 1 month, which would be April, April rent. They just been adding it to the end of the lease at the end of the term for another month. But that can't go on forever because, you know, it's just kind of a trickle down thing. You know, they got to pay their mortgage, you know, they've got their expenses as well. So yeah, that's one reason why I think that people are pushing for it. And it could be an employee issue too. I mean, if, you know, like I talked about with the, you know, there's still operating costs with businesses that are closed that have employees, but they're staying at home. And that's why I think there's a little push on that. And I think originally too, a lot of people had the misconception that you could use it for all those things, and be pushing on it for that reason as well.
Do you think there's any likelihood that the, legislature goes back to the table and extends the 8 weeks to like 12 weeks or 14 weeks or something like that? Are they going to make you, you know, figure out what you owe after eight, what's forgivable, what isn't, and then reapply if they come out with a whole nother, you know, process of PPP loans? I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's the wild, wild west out there. I mean, everything that's happening is new for everyone, and that's kind of the problem with it. They're kind of just going as, and this is happening very quickly. I could see a lot of changes. I mean, why can't they just say everything's forgiven? You know, so I don't know. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot more changes as these forgiveness of these loans gets calculated towards the end, which you're going to start seeing here in probably 4 to 6 weeks. That's where all the major guidance is probably going to come out, is on the back end.
So right now, given that there's a lot of stuff up in the air and there's obviously issues that we don't have answers to, mm-hmm. How are you advising your clients right now, your business clients, during this process? I mean, how are you, what are you telling them, you know, as conservative as you can? I mean, here's what I think you can or can't do. Here's what you should or shouldn't be doing. Here's what I wouldn't do. I mean, are there specific advice that you're giving them?
Yeah, I think my biggest problem just personally has been with bankers. You know, if you're trugging along and you're a business owner and you never get a loan and you're with, you know, big national banks or, you know, maybe just big banks in your general area, and you're trying to get this PPP loan and you don't know who to talk to, you don't have a personal business banker. You know, the intent here was that all businesses go to their current bank to get their PPP loan because they're a current customer and the banks weren't taking on new customers until the current customer base was taken care of. So it wasn't a deal where you could just go to a bunch of locations because they only let you put in one. And so I had a lot of issues. Every bank had a different process. Some banks were a lot better than others. I have had a lot of clients switch banks because they weren't able to get the PPP loan for whatever reason. You know, I've had some small business self-employed people at some of the national banks, and they said sorry because they use their social security number. They don't have a employee identification number, so they opened up a bank account with their personal social security number, even though they run all the business transactions through there. They said, since you don't have a business bank account prior to February 15th, we can't help you. So I'm really pushing hard to really have businesses have a better business bank relationship because this type of thing could happen. I don't know if this can happen every year or what, but you know, some of the other things is how do we prove that, you know, the payroll protection program, you know, how do we prove that we spent this money? You know, I've been trying to tell people to put it in a separate bank account, you know, get your gross payroll and just transfer that amount to the operating account where the payroll comes out of. That seems easy enough. But we just don't know how these banks are going to want their information. I even when I was doing the actual applications, you know, one bank, all they wanted was a W-3, which is a summary of all your W-2s. I had other banks that wanted, I mean, I think I submitted 4 quarters of payroll returns and payroll summaries and current pay stubs. And I mean, you're talking the whole gamut. So it's kind of all over the board. And I wish there was just more of a centralized process for it all, but everybody was kind of just trying to get their hands on the money, and it worked out very quickly. It's just, there's just not enough guidance out there. You know, the same thing with, you know, how and when to open. You know, here in Omaha, I think there's like salons and some other elective surgery could open May 4th. Some aren't opening till June 1st just because of, you know, what they have to do. Like my wife's a hairstylist and she's starting up May 18th. Well, she has to wear a mask, and then all of her customers come in have to bring their own mask. And there's no waiting room. There can only be 10 people in the salon at a time. And you have to wait in your car until they call you. There's no cash. They have to use credit cards. So, I mean, there's all these different things that keep popping up, and you don't know if it's going to continue or if there's going to be more. But I do think that here soon I'm going to be spending a lot more time on forgiveness. I still got tax returns due. I mean, we can't forget about that. You know, here in Omaha, we had the last two tax seasons were horrible. Between, you know, everybody keeps forgetting, we just had the biggest tax code change in history in 2018 that we're still trying to shift through. There's things like the business interest deduction, and for, you know, passive investors, we need clarification on that. And then here in Omaha, we had the floods last year, which is, it wasn't like a pandemic, but we had our tax season extended until July 31st last year. So it's kind of been just a whirlwind of info, and I don't know if a lot of my clients are going to have an accountant next year. So
we had a question submitted, Steve. The question is, hopefully this makes sense to you as I read it. Registered reps typically have outside businesses, and of course, someone like the submitter, as a registered rep, they get 1099. They're 1099 recipients. So, can a rep who has both a company and a 1099 have both a PPP loan for 1099 role and also an EIDL loan for an outside business?
I believe so. I mean, if you have two separate businesses, like I myself, I own, you know, two other companies, and not only did I apply for the PPP, but my two other companies that I have an interest in applied as well. I think as long as you have payroll, you know, tied to that, or self-employment income, I believe that either, you know, both of those companies are able to apply for it. There are some franchise rules and stuff like that, but for the most part, I mean, if it's two separate activities, and like my two companies are a sales company, another one's a manufacturer, and then I'm a CPA. So, I mean, I think that the lender's probably going to be the one to talk to on that. But from what I understand is it's not a deal of how many companies you have. I think the issue comes into play, like if you're trying to take payroll from this company and try and apply for the loan, you know, that's probably not something you want to do, taking, you know, doubling up on payroll. And that kind of goes along with, you know, the 1099 deal, where not only when we were first doing these calculations, we were taking payroll costs, you know, W-2 wages, plus, like if I sent a 1099 to a RIA, I would put that 1099 as part of my payroll cost. Well, they came out and said, no, you can't do that because the RIA, a registered rep, can go out and apply for their own PPP. So you're kind of double dipping, or indirectly, but you know, so I hope that that helped.
Okay, with that, if anyone has any questions, we got about a minute and a half to 2 minutes. Otherwise, if nothing else pops up, we can let you guys get back to your normal order of business for the day. So I'll continue to have these every other week with different guests. If anyone has any ideas of a specific guest that you think would be beneficial, let me know. Probably not. I don't want sponsor related. I don't want sponsors coming out here pumping their stuff. But if you think there's a specific topic that can be addressed in this type of format, I'm all ears. So I appreciate the time and effort. And thank you very much. And we'll see you guys in a couple weeks.